We have to raise it way up because I'm pretty tall. Good morning, everyone. Hey, it's so great to see a full church. I love this. I'm not used to this. Our scripture reading today comes from the book of James, chapter 1, verses 17 through 27. For most scholars, this letter has been given credit to James, the brother of Jesus, who was one of the leaders in the Jerusalem church. As a leader, James knows how to speak with authority, which is why if you've read this scripture passage before today, you can realize that his words are very direct and to the point. James doesn't beat around the bush with his words. The occasion for these blunt words from James is because within the Jerusalem church at this time, there have been divisions between the rich and the poor in the community. Division and how to live together in Christian community are addressed head on in James's letter. The theme of chapter 1 is acting out our faith and being the community that Christ has called the church to be. James is not writing on how to become a Christian. He's writing on how to act like a Christian. And now hear these words from James 1, verses 17 through 27. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose us to birth through the word of truth, that we might be the kind of first fruits of all he created. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen and slow to speak and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to this word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts is pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. I told you it was blunt. Amen. Our middle hymn today is Take My Life and Let It Be Consecrated. For those of you worshiping at home, there should be a link to the hymn dropping into the comments. For those of you here in the sanctuary, you can turn to number 458 in your hymnals, and I invite you to stand as we sing together. may be seated. It's so great to be here with you all today. I am joining in the middle of your current sermon series, which is called Puzzling It Out, What It Means to Be the Church. And last week I heard and I saw in Jenny's office the puzzle pieces that you all put together, symbolizing that you all are connected in this community. Though we might be different shapes, coming from different places, we all fit together in some way that is designed by God. And Christ is very concerned with that connection that we share as people in the church. And it's on James's heart as he wrote his letter for us today to tell the church how we should live as people in community. But before we jump into that passage, will you please pray with me? Holy God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts online and here in person be acceptable to you, Lord Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So I wanted to preface this story that I'm going to start off to you by telling you today that I am not athletically inclined at all. God has given me gifts, but that is really not one of them. So in middle school, for whatever reason, my mom, which mostly she pushes me to do a lot of things, which was going to youth group in the first place, but my mom pushed me to do a sport. I didn't want to play a sport at all, but I was good at swimming, and there was a local Y that had a swim team, so I signed up. I probably went kicking and screaming. I don't remember, but she's shaking her head. I did. To my surprise, I did very well on that swim team. I earned a bunch of ribbons and thought I had found my sport. However, doubt was planted into my mind because each day at school, friends, teachers would say the thing that every person over 6 feet tall has heard in their life. If you have heard it, you can say it with me. You're tall. You should play basketball. Yes. I'm not the only one. I feel so affirmed right now. Family members would say this to me at holidays and other gatherings. I've always been tall and towered over everyone. So middle school, it just seemed logical that everyone wanted me to play basketball. And faced with a difficult choice in the winter of eighth grade because swim team and basketball happened at the same season. So I did have to pick one. And I was convinced that I shouldn't let my tallness go to waste. So I signed up for the basketball tryouts. I quickly learned, though, that it takes much more than just being tall to play basketball. It takes coordination, speed, aggressiveness. And I know you all don't know me very well yet. These people in the front row do, and they can tell you that coordination, speed, and aggressiveness are not my gifts. I dreamt of being the next Larry Bird, but sadly, my basketball career never took off because of my bad dribbling skills or inability to shoot and non-aggressiveness. I was too nice on the court. I didn't know that that was a thing. I can still hear my coach screaming at me to get aggressive. I didn't want to be aggressive. That was not me. I don't get angry that easily. I was told I was too nice, but I made the team because of my height, and I spent most of that first season on the bench that year, which was fine by me, honestly. I got to learn a lot. And even though my basketball career was short-lived, I still remember some valuable lessons I learned from my middle school coach. After practice, he sat the whole team down and said to us, "On the court, you won't be remembered by how many points you scored." And I thought that was a weird thing to say in my 13-year-old mind because they did keep a list of how many points we scored, and you could find my name at the bottom. He went on to say that people will remember you by your kindness, your humanity, your sportsmanship. My coach was a wise man, and today I still remember that quote because it's true. People see and notice how we live. That quote that my coach said to me over 16 years ago aligns perfectly with what James is stating in our passage for today. What my middle school coach and James have in common is that they both place an emphasis on examining our actions in the world. And from James, in this passage, we learn that we become a blessing by living out our faith in the world through action. We become a blessing by living out our faith in the world through action. So how do we become that blessing to the world? And what is that action that James is so pushing us to think about as Christians? Well, let's jump right into the passage and explore, you know, as a good pastor, I have 3 points that I would like to make about how this action and what is that that James wants us to think about. The first way, according to James, that the church can become a blessing to the world is being quick to listen to others and slow to speak and become angry. That is said directly by James, very bluntly, in verse 19. In the text, there's no clues as to why James gives this advice. We can only speculate what church issue might have been coming up. Maybe people were talking over each other at meetings. No one was listening to each other. We can only speculate. Perhaps in the church, James had noticed major issues happening where people were divided and not listening to one another. I don't know if that sounds familiar, but maybe that was happening back then in the first century. Anger was getting the best of them. The anger James is referring to here is a hateful type of anger, anger that causes a person to be spiteful and downright cruel to someone else. It's not the holy type of anger that God can do, that God can use to do amazing things. Think of Jesus flipping the tables at the temple. That is holy anger. This is not that. James is speaking against the anger that causes a closed-off heart. James calls this type of anger the type that festers and doesn't let go and makes a person become resentful. He calls that moral filth. Instead of that resentful anger, James calls the church to be one that is quick to listen and slow to speak. Because when we truly listen to someone else, we begin to understand who they are. Maybe it is like the Alison Krauss song that goes, we can say it best when we say nothing at all. And for the last 2 years, I have been serving as a chaplain at Tampa General Hospital. And as a chaplain, I learned firsthand the importance of listening. I remember the first time I walked into a room to support a family whose loved one had passed away. And I went in with thinking that I had to fill the silence with multiple rehearsed prayers and ask all the right questions to get the family to reflect on their loved one and grieve. In that first visit, I felt like I did more overwhelming that family than supporting them. When I processed about this with my other chaplain peers, they challenged me to see that truly caring for people isn't about having the right rehearsed prayers. In my training as a chaplain, I quickly learned that it's in sharing in someone else's pain is about listening to them and not showing up with an agenda. One of the most powerful moments in the Bible to me personally is in the book of Job. After Job loses everything, his friends show up and they say nothing at all. They sit with him, and the Bible tells us for 7 days and 7 nights, they just sit with him. They don't say a word. How hard would that be for us today to just sit with people and not say a word? We're always thinking about the next thing to say. But those friends did not do that. They just sat with him. So I learned in my time as a chaplain that listening is a bridge to understanding someone. I threw out the rehearsed prayers and I learned to sit with people in their grief. It was hard and messy, but beautiful and redemptive. True empathy is shown when we show up and we listen. Along with being quick to listen and slow to speak, the next way that James proclaims that the church can be a blessing is by putting the word into practice. James is urging his congregation and us today to put into action the words or teachings from the Bible that we hear in church. James is challenging us all to be doers of the word rather than letting it go in one ear and out the other. The metaphor that James uses to hit this message home, you always have to have a good metaphor to hit a message home, is forgetting to put the word into practice is like forgetting what you look like. In today's society, we are so used to selfies, TikTok videos, live streaming. It's almost impossible for us to imagine forgetting what we look like, right? Where there's mirrors every corner we turn. Mirrors in the ancient world were probably not as good as they are today. But even still, then, back then, people wouldn't have forgotten what they looked like. It's pretty absurd if you think about it. And that's exactly the point that James is trying to make. Just like it's absurd to forget what you look like, it's also absurd to believe the words of Scripture and not put them into action. And what is that action? Well, what I see in the Bible is that action is to love. As Jesus taught us, to love God with all of our heart, all of our mind, all of our soul, and all of our strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. What the world really does need now is love. Maybe Jackie Duchanan and Dionne Warwick were right. I often think about pop songs when I read scriptures, so you're getting that. To recap, what the church needs to be a blessing is being quick to listen, slow to anger, and putting the word into practice. The final way in this passage that the church is called to live out this mission and to be a blessing might be the hardest, and that is to bring justice. Justice for James means treating people with kindness. And this kindness is included in our words, both spoken, and I'm going to say both typed too, our words that we type online. Before we make a comment online, we should ask ourselves if the words we're going to type bring kindness and redemption, or if they're going to be hurtful and mean. I think we should be striving with kindness for kindness and redemption with our words. Justice also means speaking out for people, and James urges the church to be a blessing by caring for the least of these in society. And the least of these, he mentions, is orphans and widows. And he mentioned them because in the Old Testament, caring for orphans and widows is equated by God with righteousness. James is calling us today to be an advocate for justice for those who cannot speak for themselves. The passage challenges all of us to open our eyes to those in society that might be suffering. Being a blessing means not being a silent bystander. How else does this passage relate to our lives today? As we have seen, James is very concerned with action. We don't gain more love from God through our actions because God's love is not based on our actions. God's love is free and not transactional. James understands this as well because at the beginning of the passage, verse 17, he states that every good gift is from God. God never changes. It's because of God's love that we go out and do the good work and be that blessing to the world. And we can apply this passage to our lives today by spreading kindness. Kindness to me is understanding that the world is short-staffed right now. Servers at restaurants, workers at your favorite store, dental hygienists, my sister's a dental hygienist, so I'm looking at her, or the customer service agent on the other end of the phone need grace for things that are outside of their control. Yes, it's frustrating for us on the other end of the phone to wait maybe an extra 5 or 10 minutes or to wait on our food that's not coming out fast enough. It is frustrating, but I think kindness is how we spread God's love to those poor, help them, those poor service workers that are trying their best. I have a friend who is a waitress at a restaurant just across the street from a fairly large church in Florida. Sundays after church, she tells me, laments to me, are always her least favorite time to work because of the brunch crowd that comes in from mostly from the church is not the nicest, according to her. This is the only interaction with Christians she has during her week, and it breaks my heart. I think the collective church can do better at spreading kindness into the world, and it can start with how we treat everyday people we come into contact with. We can also apply this passage to our daily life by remembering that our words matter. Responding to someone out of a place of anger will never bring good results. When confrontation happens, whether in person or today with online trolls, who I think aren't really real people all the time, but we seem to get in our minds that they are, we need to meet people with love and try to listen, but also protect our boundaries as well. If someone is harassing you or belittling you, you don't need to just stick around and listen to that. I think there's also a protecting our boundaries that we can do, but also remembering that our words can shoot to kill when rage is involved. Let us be quick, people who are quick to listen and people who don't overreact. The temperature in this country is red hot right now over every issue imaginable. I think you name an issue, like we can pick sides and see who is divided on it. I think listening and seeing things from another point of view can be the change that brings the temperature down in America. And I believe that James will call us to be followers, to say followers of Jesus have to take the lead on this. So living out our faith means going outward. I did bring a prop from Florida. I thought about your puzzle pieces yesterday, and this miraculously fit in my carry-on, and my cat didn't get a hold of this, so it's great that it's here. I think about these connect pieces as the puzzle pieces you all put together last week, and this is what it's like when we're at church. We're together, right? We're getting filled up by the Spirit. We're in community. We're together as one, but then we branch out and move outward. Yeah, isn't that cool? I'm glad it made it from Florida. So like this spear, the church goes outward. So how do we live out as Christians? We go outward and we bless the world through our actions. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You guys are great. And you laughed at my jokes. That's awesome. Our closing hymn today is God of Grace and Glory. For those of you worshiping at home, there should be a link to the hymn dropping to the comments. If for those of you here in the sanctuary, you can turn to number 528 in your hymnal. I invite you to stand as we sing together.